Did you enjoy the song service?
Yes.
God just wanted to have, he said, I want them to have fun. You know, aren't you sick and tired of the squabbles that goes on in the house of God? You know, we shouldn't sing this, we shouldn't sing that, we shouldn't play the drums, we shouldn't do this and that and the other. And God said to me, what did David do? He took all of his clothes off, except his underwear, and danced to show everybody how much he loved the Lord. Don't y'all do that now. But you see what I'm saying? And like the Israelite children, when they got across the Red Sea, the first thing they did was dance with all their might and praise the Lord and carried on like fools, right? Every time they went across the Jordan, what they do? They danced and sang. Yeah, don't you dance and sing in the house of God, dear Lord. You'll get the other churches upset. You won't get God upset, but you get the other churches upset. And I noticed that every time they did something, they always blew the trumpet. You know? Don't make no noise in the house of God. You might come alive. The problem is, the reason why we lose so many battles is because we don't know really how to worship. You know, who are you to say that the way I worship is wrong, or who are you to say the church down the street, the way they worship is wrong? You have to worship the way God's telling you to worship. And, you know, sometimes when God tells me, just like these songs tonight, what he wants, and I have to listen to all this here, dong, 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 on these guitars for hours, because it takes me hours, it gives me a headache. You know, the electric guitars I get, you know, makes all that, you know, and then all the rattling of the drums and this and that and the other. I love the songs, but after you listen to them for hours upon end, after a bit, it makes you a little bit dizzy. But, you know, you just do it because that's what God said to do. That song, I Thank God, that's been going through my mind for 3 days now, ever since Sunday. I get awake singing it, you know, I just all day long. That song is a good anointed song. You ought to listen to it. He picked you up and turned you around, right? Placed your feet on solid ground, not on sand. You know, God gave me a vision the other day, and I'm trying to get my leg right with this. We're going to do something to this stool before I sit on again. It's too high or something. But anyhow, he gave me a vision of you guys are supposed to be writing books. I saw you. You were a book. You know, and all it was your head, your little dinky feet and hands. You know, and what God showed me, I said, why are you showing me that? It's because the people that I've called to write books are pregnant with book after book after book. They need to write their books. So you're just pregnant with your books. Now, I know he told Reverend Brett when I first met him that he was to write books, and that would be his income. He would live off of his books. And I was reading about Joe Osteen. He's been ministering 17 years. No, 17 years, he has acquired $50 million. He does not take anything from his church. It's from his books and his when he goes out to speak. And, you know, if God told you your books are going to be what your income is, then why are you sitting doing nothing? So don't complain to me if you're not, you can't make ends meet. You aren't writing the books that God told you to write. I made little notes during praise and worship, and God told me to tell you about. Okay, so you don't want $50 million? Come on here. Yeah, I will too. Yeah. Another thing that I saw on TV today, I'll just tell you this. This 92-year-old woman, they were strapping her to the wing of an airplane. And she walks on airplane wings as they go through the sky. But the day she decided she was wanting to be strapped to it, and she was, yay, you know. Now, if this 92-year-old woman can do that, why can't you young whippersnappers be excited about life? Well, I got arthritis in my toe. Well, get rid of it, you know. I mean, she was having a really, I said, well, God, I'm going to straighten up here a little bit. If she's 92 and flying on an airplane wing, I can do that too, right? Yeah. We're trying to go from heaven to earth. We can't even walk from here to the door sometimes. Oh, wow. And you know, all this stuff that's going on with President Trump. God was mad the other day. He said, excuse me, you don't need money. What you need is prayer. Excuse me. He said, the people need to start praying for this thing to straighten out and praying for him. How many of you, your email been bombarded? We need money. We need money if President Trump's going to get out. We need money. No, God said you need prayer. And you know, God told me America is so divided. He said the people who are sold out and really listen to God's voice, they are the ones that still think President Donald Trump is their president. And the ones that aren't sold out to God and just sort of, you know, and I'm going to get in trouble for this, I know, but I don't care. God said to stay in, I'm going to stay in. The ones that are just sort of floating along are still thinking the other person is their president. And we're going to soon find out who the true president really is. And I listened to Kim Clement's prophetic word where he said America would at one point have two presidents at one time. And this is where we're at. We have God's president, and then we have the devil's president. And I'm sorry that bothers you, but the truth will set you free. Or you'll bring tomatoes next time out in the witch, okay? And God said that we have got to change with the seasons. They're just with your praise and worship. I'm glad we don't sing the songs I sang when I was a little girl. That was all right for then. And, you know, if you're a person that just likes real slow, and there's nothing wrong with that because I sit and listen to them too. If you like real slow songs, well, then don't fuss about what God's doing in the house. At home, you play your real slow songs. And if you're one that doesn't like slow songs, just wants fast songs, and we sing slow songs, listen to your fast songs at home. Don't cause division in the body of Christ. And when God said that America is not united, he can't even get the church united. This church still does not walk in perfect unity. We do not. I don't care what you have to say. And God's been trying to get us unified for how many years? You know, there's the truth. Full-blown truth. What you do with it is up to you. All righty now. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into the teaching. I think that's all I wrote down. So why don't you want $50 million? You know, I sit and I think, God, this blows my mind. You know, I came across that they sent on my email that Joe Osteen had drowned in his swimming pool. So I thought, oh, that's terrible. And so I went and read the article. And what it was Joe Osteen had put all of his $50 million in a swimming pool, filled it up with water, and trying to prove to his people he could walk on water and perform miracles. It was just a big prank. Now, you know, are we so sick that that's the only thing we have to do in life is to do stuff like this? Do you understand that? You can't trust anything. You can't trust the media at all. The only thing you can trust is God's voice. It's the only thing. So if you don't know God's voice and you're done, because that devil's going to lead you astray at every turn. Father, I just thank you for the ones who came and stayed and they really want to be fed fresh manna from heaven. These are ones, Father God, as I look around, that come over and over and over again. They want to know the truth. They want to be set free, and they want to be vessels of honor that you can work through. So right now, Father God, I'm asking that you come down in all your glory. You touch these people in a special way tonight. And Father God, open up their spiritual ears and open up their spiritual eyes and let them see, hear, and then receive all that you have to say to them. And Father God, if there's any lie that comes out of my lips, close my lips immediately. We don't want to lie, Father God. We want the whole truth. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in the title of this is Fire Starters. The other day I was saying, well, God, I'll need a lesson for Wednesday night. And he said, I'm bringing forth the fire starters. So that's what I'm going to teach on, all right? Now, in July of 2015, this was part of a prophetic word God gave us. It said, I am realigning your diaphragm. The diaphragm of the body of Christ, that part that is covering the womb. I am putting a new sound in it. I'm expanding your ability to breathe in my wind, and you will be fire starters. This is back in 2015. You will begin to manifest the fullness of my fire. of your worship, of your time with me, of the time that you're lining your diaphragm with me. I will breathe over the face of the earth and fire will begin to break out. I have shaken the heavens over you and am coming with a glory that is from heaven to shake the earth. This shaking and glory will cause the contractions to start and those birth pangs to come forth. As my glory comes, it will birth new things. All right, so in 2015, God was getting you ready to be fire starters. Remember how you used to always say fire, fire, fire. And if you really stop and think of all the things God's been doing, which I do, you'll understand that for years God has been working with us to get us to the place we are tonight. All right? Every service had a meaning to it. Nothing was done just by happen chance. In every meeting, you received a new anointing. Now, in November of 20... No, I put down the wrong date there. It was in November. What year? It might have been 20. All right. Like Joshua, the high priest... This is what God said. Like Joshua, the high priest, the firebrands have been plucked from the fire. Remember, he talked about that. And I have placed royal robes upon them, and I am sending them forth to conquer on all sides. These firebrands have suffered at the hands of the enemy, and now they will know what it is to walk with the Almighty One. They will be more than anxious to tear down the walls of darkness and allow the light of my truth to shine forth, bringing more firebrands into the light. These firebrands know that it is like what it is like to live behind prison bars with no hope of pardon. But I showed up, I pardoned each one, and now they are being sent forth to accomplish the mighty works of preparing the way for the second coming of the Son, Jesus. So, God plucked you out of the fire. He made you fire brands. And tonight you are fire brands. And what you are going to do as fire brands, you're going to go out and preach the gospel and bring forth fire starters. You're going to start fires wherever you go. The people you minister to, the people you touch, then will have the fire in them. And then God will use them to go forth and bring more fire starters in. Okay? Now, on August the 10th, God said, that's tonight. Okay? Wow. Okay, so this is a word for tonight. No. Can we erase that or something? No, leave it in there. All right, this is our word for tonight. It is time for fire on the altar. I am releasing fire starters this night. I have brought you to a place of total surrender, and in this place you shall stand in the presence of Yahweh. And he's never used Yahweh before with me. You will stand in the presence of Yahweh continually. There will be no schism between us from this night forward. The demarcation line has been drawn, and the enemy can no longer cross over the line. So you are firebrands, and you're going to be a fire starter, and you're going to start fires in your workplaces, on the streets, every place you go. You're going to be starting the fires. All right. God said, I am releasing these fire starters to ignite a passion for my presence and power in this generation. These fire starters are already filled with the Holy Spirit and burning for me. That's what God spoke so far for tonight. You are already filled with the Holy Spirit. You already have every bit of equipment that you need inside of you to go forth and raise up fire starters. You have it. I remember one time, I can't think of her name right now. I went up to the altar and she said, Barbara, what are you doing up here? You already have all this anointing that we said you were going to receive. You already have it. Go back and sit down. Kenneth Hagin told me the same thing. You're already anointed. Go back and sit down. So I'm telling you, you're already anointed. Get up and go out. All right. Get up and go out. You're already anointed. You don't know it. You don't feel it, but it's there. You're already anointed. You're already to be sent forth and to do the mighty works that God has purposed. Now, I ran across this. This was a vision of Daniel, P-O-N-T-I-O-U-S. He was talking about we are lamps, okay? So I just started here. He said, these lamps are completely, he was having a vision. These lamps are completely filled with the anointing and fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. And as God ignites them, he did something with those lamps that I have never seen him do before. He turned them upside down in the spirit realm. You're the lamps, okay? As these lamps were flipped over, I thought for sure that their oil would all run out and they would be empty and dry. But much to my surprise, as the oil flowed out of them, ignited by the fire of his passion and presence, that same oil became a ceaseless supply of oil that didn't run dry and continued to burn. So you're full of the oil of the Holy Spirit. You're full of the fire of the Holy Spirit. God turned you upside down, and you will never go out because that oil will continue to flow out of you. All right? Then God said to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. And Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts. Remember, God told us at least 2 years ago, no more religion. It is spirit calling to spirit. A lot of people are upset over that. A lot of people left church over that because they wanted to stay in religion. And God said, no more religion. It's by my spirit or it isn't. So guys, tonight God is saying to you, it's by his spirit that all this stuff is going to happen. You're not going to do anything. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you, that fire inside of you that God already ignited quite a while back. It's going to go forth and do the mighty works. And then Daniel said, as I continued to watch what I was seeing in the spirit, I realized that those lamps of the Lord had become the drip torches of the Holy Spirit. Drip torches of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 1:7 says, referring to the angels, he says, God, who makes his angels winds and his ministering servants flames of fire. Then Jeremiah 5:14, therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you, the people, have spoken this word, behold, I will make my words fire in your mouth, Jeremiah, and this people wood, and it will devour them. In other words, as God sends you forth with the fire of the Holy Spirit inside of you, it's going to devour every bit of darkness that stands before you and anybody else. And God has been growing you up to this stage, and it's this stage that you are in that he is ready to send you forth and to do the perfect works for him. And I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. He said, there's nothing holding you back except you. Your doubt and your unbelief is holding you back. You have to let go of that, same as I had to let go. And I thought I had to get up to the altar all the time. And here all the time I was carrying all this anointing. And then all I just started to do was just go forth and do. I prayed for people to get healed, they could heal. Prayed for the dead, they raised. Whatever God said I could do, I just went and did. Nobody sat down and taught me. I just, you know, that when these two ministers told me, you know, you have it, go use it. I started to use it. So God's saying to you, now you have it, go use it. And he's saying, spread my gospel throughout the land while you're using it. All right, tonight God is calling not just lamps to light the way in this hour, but Holy Spirit drip torches, which will set all of those around them and who hear them ablaze with the Spirit serving the Lord. In other words, as you go forth with your anointing, this here drip spirit anointing that God's going to drop on you tonight, everybody you talk to is going to receive God as their maker, and they're going to go forth and they're going to serve him with all of their heart. You know, God has been calling us how long now to come up to the third heaven? You know, be intimate with me, spend more time with me. And this is why he was doing it, because he's going to take you to this level tonight. Romans 12:11 says, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12:11, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Then God said, these Holy Spirit drip torches will not just reveal the light of the Lord, but they will ignite all others around them, spreading the fire of God amongst all those who hear them. I'm telling you guys, all you have to do is go, you know, be walking in holiness. Be standing on the rock. And then just go. and God will work through you, and God will perform the miracles that need to be performed on whoever you're around. I know that's what God did with me. I just had to go. We've been in a season of we've been in a season of unholiness and barren land, and now he's bringing the people back into holiness, and the land is going to thrive. And who is the land? It's you and I. We're going to thrive with the things of God, and we're going to go forth, what is it called, drip torches, and we're going to do the great mighty works, the greater works that the Bible talks about. All right, the word of the Lord is about to take on a whole new activity in this generation as the fire of God attaches to the prophetic words of the Lord within his people. See, that's why, you know, I'm trying to get you guys to really get in there and use your prophetic gifting, because in that prophetic gifting is the fire of God that's going to change people's lives. It's when God speaks to them, and I'm hearing him saying, and overflows in them with a prophetic word, that people start changing. They start taking notice of what's really going on in them and around about them, and it starts changing their lives. When I asked you, I said, you have a word. I wouldn't tell you have a word if you didn't have a word. I'm not that dumb, you know. And when I see you struggling, I know it's because you don't have your mind on Christ. So I sit and pray, Holy Spirit, just go to them right now and just anoint them and let them give forth the word that you have in them to give. They give it, they stagger with it, but at least they give it. So you shouldn't even stagger with it. If I say to you, you have a word for this person, it should be there. You should be in a place at that very moment, be instant in season and out of season. You should come into the house of God, ready for God to work through you, doing whatever he wants to do. Shouldn't have to have somebody come up and smack you in the head and say, speak. You know, you should be anointed to speak. All right. Fire starters stay hungry and thirsty for God's goodness to become manifested in them and through them. I talked to Barbara quite a bit, so I know why she's a fire starter, because she's always hungry and thirsty for more of God. You know, I talk to you people, and I want to see where you're at, and some of you aren't in that place. You don't talk to God enough, you don't desire him enough, and therefore you cannot walk in the anointing the way you need to walk in. All right, becoming a fire starter is simply focusing on and pursuing the fire. Focusing on and pursuing the fire. Fire starters practice persistence. Fire starters are not perfect, but are willing to continue to take risks in starting fires. And every now and then I have to douse Barbara's fire because she gets ahead of God. I'm just using her because she doesn't care. Some of you get offended. All right. Fire starters do not give up when they have setbacks or disappointments. Some of you do that. The devil sets you back and you stop instantly. All right. Fire starters continue to learn and grow in a supernatural lifestyle. Jack Hayford once said, we don't fail when we fall, but we only fail when we fail to get back up. Fire starters get back up and try again. How many of you have fallen and you've gone to God for repentance and he says, just get back up. Just get back up and start walking. I think that's what my father taught me as a young child. When you fall down, grab yourself by your bootstraps and pull yourself up, because nobody else is going to pull you up. Everybody else just puts you down. And I'm always glad that he taught me that, because you know what? That really came in handy when I started to become a born-again Christian and found out that they'd rather kick you in the teeth than help you. So I learned early on, pull yourself up. I learned that as a young girl. But in the body of Christ, that was embedded in me, and I had to use that. People get jealous. They get stupid. You know, all kind of things goes on. And instead of being a hospital, we become a wrecking crew. All right. Disappointment and discouragement are two common reasons fire starters are sometimes detained and derailed from their supernatural destiny. Disappointment and discouragement. Fire starters have pledged to persevere in spite of setbacks and obstacles. How many of you know that? All right, Grace, I'll just use you. You had to persevere no matter what come against you. Just even recently, you had to determine, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep pressing on, you know. So fire starters have pledged to persevere in spite of set. Now, she didn't do that just when she was attacked last week. She has determined that in her heart years and years ago, that no matter what the enemy did, the rest of us in here have too, most of us have, but then no matter what the enemy brought our way, we were going to keep on going with God. All right, be willing to follow. You have to be willing to follow God. He is coming to rescue you. He is setting your hearts on fire. Now, Jeremiah 10:29, he says, I have placed a fire in your bones. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, if I say I will not make mention of the Lord or speak any more in his name in my mind and heart, it is as if there were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of enduring and holding it in. I cannot contain it any longer. Now, in biblical commentary, Jeremiah delivered the message the Lord had given him and experienced persecution for it. Jeremiah acknowledged that even if he tried to contain the word of the Lord, he would not be able to, and he would be worn out from trying to keep it inside. And then God said, the men whom I have set on fire will encounter persecution as Jeremiah did. And I'm just going to tell you about myself. Many times I said, God, I just want to quit. I just want to sit down. I'm not going to leave the church. I'm just going to sit down. And he said, all right, then you want me to take your mantle? I said, no, I want to preach. You know, I mean, you know, I just have to preach. I know that that's the, I teach really, but I know that's my destiny. And how many of you have done that in different areas of your life? And then God said, okay, I'll work with you and I'll do what you want. No, I don't want that. Amen? Come on. Men, you will not be deterred. You will be strengthened and gain momentum to continue on. As you follow Christ, the Lord will restore you to your family and your rightful place in your homes and your nations. You will not fear any man. Now, I wrote that down because God spoke to me and said that he is drawing the men into his bosom at this given time. He said the men are going to become the leaders of their homes like they should be. You're going to see men go where they've divorced their wife. They're going to come knocking on the door crying, please, forgive me, I'm really sorry. And then marriages are going to go back together again. And men are going to become fathers, true fathers. And God's just working on men right now. And he is bringing the men to the forefront. I know a lot of people are saying that God is working on women, and he is, and that's fine. But right now, God's just is getting men back into the house of God, back into their families where they're supposed to be. You know, the men are supposed to be the providers, and the women are supposed to be the by their side helping. Amen. And I think it's time, you women, if you're putting men down, you need to stop, because God is not putting men down. He's trying to lift men up. And really and truly, I know that some of you have been hurt in life by your husband or whatever, but you know, look what you did to Jesus when you walked over all over his blood with your sins and your unforgiveness and all that. And let's just walk on. Let's just get up, dust yourself off, and walk on. Men, you have your rightful place in the body of Christ. And I don't know about women, but I'd rather hear a man than I would a woman, to tell you the truth. I mean, women are fine. That's what I am. But really, I do like to see a man at the head of the realm, at the helm. And because there's just such a, there's a security and a firmness in a man. And women are gentle. I think. You know. And, all right, God, you know, God is calling women to the pulpits. He's been calling women to the pulpits. He's been calling women prophets for a long time. Let's just take our rightful places. I think it's wonderful when you see a husband and wife both in the ministry, both preaching the word, both anointed and prophesying. I mean, that makes the most wonderful church you ever want to see, right? But the enemy got in here years ago and women's lib started and went downhill quickly, didn't it? All right, question to you tonight. Are you a lamp or are you a burning torch? Both have their purpose in God's presence, but if I could choose, I would say, Lord, make me a torch. As a torch, you will be used by God to start fires in others. How do you know, women, if you can get yourself act together, you could be a torch and start a fire in your husband, your wayward husband, right? The enemy has been destroying the male species for quite some time in America. And I think that we need to pray and stop that. And we need to stop allowing the enemy to use us as a weapon against our spouses. I really do. I hate to see a wishy-washy man. I really do. My God, who is my Father, is not wishy-washy. And neither is Jesus. And he didn't produce wishy-washy men. He produced strong towers with love and compassion. Amen. Yeah, I love to listen. I listened to a lot of Toby Mac's songs at home because they have so much meaning to them. People don't like him because he once was a sinner. Isn't that a shame? And but I like the song that he made up, you know, and he put together about his 21-year-old son who died. That man loved his son with every fiber of his being. Yeah, he was a true father to his son. And one of the things his son always said was, "Dad, you always stand with me, never stand against me." So I know he died of an overdose. I don't know why that happened, but who cares? He had a father who loved him, a father who encouraged him. And you can tell by the things that they're posting that his father was a great inspiration for him. I think if I remember, he had his own band too, didn't he? The son. Let's quit judging. I don't know if, you know, and Toby Mac said his son's in heaven. And I don't know where he's at, and I really don't care because he's already there. I'm just saying we need to quit judging. And somebody went to heaven and said, "You'd be really surprised who is in heaven and who is in hell." And I read two articles. Well, I saw two articles on the YouTube this afternoon, and these people went to heaven and went to hell. Well, Kat Kerr was one of them, and I was shocked at who was in hell and who was in heaven. I don't know where you're going to go, you know. We have the word that says before us, and the word is yes and amen. And God doesn't change his word for you or anybody else. We all make our own decisions, right? I see a lot of Christians make a lot of wrong decisions. But it's their life. If God doesn't want to change, can't change your will, or isn't going to change your will, he could, but he won't. Then why should I try to change your will? But tonight, do you want to be a lamp? Or are you going to be a burning torch? Or how about both? A lamp going forth as a burning torch. The anointing for that is at the altar tonight. And if you want that anointing, this is a new thing that God is doing now so he can send you forth to do the works that he's calling you forth to do. This is a new anointing that you really have to have if you're really serious with God and you're really going to do the greater works that's in the Bible. You have not yet even touched the hem of God's garment, he's saying. You know, think about the man at the pool of Bethesda. He never got healed till Jesus came on the scene. And you'll never walk in the fullness of your ministry till you fully, completely, totally fall in love with Jesus and make him Lord of your life. If you're still playing around with your little tinker toys, then you haven't made God Lord of your life yet. And you're still playing like a little kid. You haven't grown up. It's time you grow up. Somebody in my house was trying to get a job. They're on drugs. They knew the only way they get a job with this company is not to be on drugs. And so he called and asked God to hire him anyhow. He said, "You're still a kid. When you grow up, become a man, call me and I'll give you a job." He was upset about that. Somebody told him the truth for the first time in his life. And he couldn't deal with that. He thought that was ignorant. That wasn't ignorant. That was setting you free if you really accepted it. The altar's still open. I haven't closed it.